Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon as it's kind of put a bow now on the Rough Riders season. Let's do it with Daryl Davis.
Double Take with Daryl Davis.
Welcome back, guys.
Missed you, Daryl.
Yeah, missed you guys.
Missed you in Winnipeg, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know that you couldn't make it work this time, but I said to them, we got to try to get him there. That's why I was texting you. You jump in with Britton and I, but
thanks, man. But yeah. You know what? I had a very peaceful, less stressful week than usual, so I was good. Listen, you guys were good. That's part of the fun. I felt like I was there anyway, so awesome. Thanks for thinking about me, but I was happy as heck being at home.
Yeah. And you got to eat Belton's, what were they, cheese?
Oh, are they
bacon-wrapped crackers?
I haven't watched a Grey Cup with my family ever. Austin wasn't born when I last watched a Grey Cup on TV, basically. So I got to take Belton snacks to my family, and they thought, oh, these are good. I said, yeah, Belton made them. Oh, that's why. Okay, of course. Ritz crackers with cheese, jalapeno, and bacon. In the middle, like a little Ritz cracker sandwich that was softened by the jalapeno. Oh, the ones with the jalapeno were so good.
See what happens when Belton doesn't have to worry about me being a celiac? Yeah. He's just bringing in all the bread and crackers and everything else.
Oh, it was awesome. And poor Kevin Martell, who hosted after, because you were in Winnipeg, came in and was looking at the bag. I had taken it home and washed it during the game and brought it back empty. And Kevin just had this sad look on his face. He thought he was going to get some of Belton's cooking, so. Sorry, Kmart.
That's funny.
What did you think of the game?
Entertaining, man.
That was
fun.
A good game.
It was
wasn't
exciting.
It?
Yeah, it could have gone a lot of different ways. That fumble, Shea Patterson wasn't kept here because he couldn't handle third down yardage plays, short yardage plays, and I guess he proved that, didn't he? You know, obviously the defense, Tavon Campbell made a play. Marcus Sales recovers it, but some big plays by the Rough Riders and their composure. They're just so good when things go wrong for them that they're able to rebound. It's really a testament to the type of team they've built.
That was the mistakes, like less mistakes from the Riders.
Yep. There's barely any.
Than the Alouettes, right?
Yep. Like you look at the mistakes made by each team. What was the biggest mistake for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in that game?
Missing a 39-yard field goal, which we thought might have been the destiny we've been talking about so much on the Green Zone over the year, right? What if Brett Lawther, who's struggling all year, misses a kick in the Grey Cup? Didn't we all think at the same, this is what we've talked about.
Because that would have sealed it. That would have made it 28-17.
And Montreal still came back, still had that chance, man. They're a pretty good team, too.
There was that one pass. I'm getting ready, Daryl. I don't know about you, but I'm preparing myself for some Rough Rider Alouette Grey Cup games.
Could be.
In the next few years, the way these two teams are going.
Yeah, although Davis Alexander, if he keeps getting hurt, might not outlast Trevor Harris. And you guys heard that you guys played the same thing. I was just at the scrum. Trevor Harris would be shocked if he didn't come back next year, basically, is what he said.
Yeah.
He'll be back. He's coming back for the second one, right?
He'll be back, yeah. Yeah.
A try at the
second one. We've been jumping on and off
we've been waffling. We've been on the teeter-totter.
He's coming back. There's no doubt he's coming back. He gets a chance to supersede Kent Austin, Kerry Joseph, Darian Durant, and Ron Lancaster. They've been as great a quarterbacks as they were. They won one in a row. When they were in Saskatchewan, he can do it two in a row.
Coaching. Does he coach?
Does Trevor Harris coach? Like become a coach next year?
In the future.
I don't know. I think he's such a family guy that I think he's going to walk away. He'll have made enough money. Will he coach? He's a leader on that team, but I don't see him becoming a coach. Maybe I'm out to lunch.
I think he coaches like high school or university
home,
in
right?
Ohio or something like that.
Like he talks about being a Saskatchewan guy, and he is. He's been accepted here. How can you not like the guy, the type of person he is?
Yep.
But I can't see him staying here with his family winter after winter and just coaching a high school or a college team or even helping out with the Rough Riders. I just don't see it.
It is interesting, right? Oh, if you coach in the States, if you coach at college level, you can make.
A high school level, you can go to Texas. Money.
If you go to a high school academy, school, like you could make just as much as some of the assistants in the Canadian football.
He's had enough pressure over the years with being a quarterback, finally winning his first Grey Cup as a starter. I know that he likes to say that's a media thing, but he was talking about it a lot too, right?
Yeah.
Good for him.
That all-access CFL YouTube page, they've got a couple of things up there if you haven't had a chance to watch. But there was the one that dropped today where he was at halftime during Grey Cup. And I'm like, he's a coach. Yeah. He's going to coach.
Yeah, you think so? Okay.
Well, he's just – have a look at it.
All the quarterbacks, but he was just –
he was coaching
it up and everything else. Yeah. But like Tyson Philpott was doing it with his on his side too, going, they're trying to bite on our, they know we run a lot of post routes, fake it and go
coming
back
from behind them. Yeah.
So they're, but they get a lot more time at halftime of the Grey
Cup.
Yes,
they do. Yeah.
To
Claire,
make those
Claire
adjustments.
You could ask a lot more questions, couldn't they? How would you think of MGK?
I was going to ask you what you think of MGK.
He's kind of bland, isn't he? I don't know. It's just the unoffensive rock music, isn't it? So
pop kind of rock thing. Yeah. Lots of covers.
Yeah.
He was a hip hop artist, but Eminem put an end to that. So
I didn't hate it. I was not a fan. I couldn't even name a song, but when we were there, I was like, oh, that's not a bad show.
It's okay. He's decent. Yeah. But he had like four guitar players and a bass player though, so maybe he can't play very well. He's got to have other people playing for him.
You know, I've been in bands where you turn certain members off.
Yes. Yeah. Unplug them.
Gordy in the hip always wanted to play guitar.
Yeah, no.
And they had him really low in the mix.
Yeah, like Mick Jagger doesn't get his guitar out very often either, does he?
Mick, though, is a great harmonica player. Yeah. Actually,
yes,
one of the
true.
Better ones.
Yes,
yeah.
He is. Yeah.
It's a double take with Double D, Daryl Davis. Okay, we believe Trevor Harris. How badly does this team need Trevor Harris back?
They don't have anybody in the backup role yet for him, right? You know, we keep saying Jake Mayer has been a starter, but I wasn't a huge Jake Mayer fan. They did the right thing bringing him here as a backup. He can do that job. But as a starter, I don't know if he's got that touch, and he doesn't have the everything that Trevor Harris brings to this team. Mm-hmm. Even a shout-out today. I talked to Jojo, and he says, shout-out to the sheriff, right? You know who the sheriff is? It's Trevor Harris. He leads them. He shows them what a pro has to do to be successful. And he's been on the cusp so often, and this time he crossed over, which is great for him. And a lot of people follow him because of the type of guy he is. So I don't know if they have anybody in store. I don't know if Jack Cohn becomes that. Tommy Stevens is a short yardage guy who thrives on it and is great at the job and helped them win the football game. Jake Mayer, I'm still not sold on him, and I don't know if they need somebody to replace him down the road.
Has Tommy Tsunami got potential?
It's Stone Cold Tommy Tsunami.
Is that Stone Cold? No, he's not.
I'm sticking with
mine. You know, he's like Chris Streveler, right? He's tremendous at what he does. They like him because he understands his role, but I don't think he's that type of running around quarterback who can throw the ball downfield. I admire his skills, but is he accurate, right?
Yeah.
If you throw deep, you better be accurate, and I don't know if he's got all that.
We haven't quite seen that from him yet, but Cody Fajardo was just a short yardage guy and turned into a decent starting quarterback.
Grey Cup winning quarterback, the best game of his career. He won a Grey Cup in it.
Coming up next, we talk about that celebration yesterday at the Saskatchewan legislature and if the Saskatchewan Rough Riders should apologize for their language. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Scott's knocking it out of the park today.
He is, yes.
Hungry Heart, before we were talking about the players getting injured at steakhouses and barbecues, Only Words by the Bee Gees.
I like the Bee Gees, too.
As one word in particular stood out to apparently some people emailing the Leader Post after the Riders' celebration.
Well, specifically they were emailing, yes. I've had a lot of complaints about what Corey Mace, the head coach, said during yesterday's celebrations, and some of the players, too, but... You know, this team has been so exemplary all season mature, responsible.
Did they get a pass for winning?
No. I think that...
See, that's where I'm saying... give them grace, because they have been locked in all year long. You wrote it in your column.
You've read that column already? I just posted it. Good for you.
I've read it already.
Well, good for you.
I wanted to know what I was getting prepared for.
Because I asked Corey Mace about it today. Are you... You know, did you guys go overboard with it? He said, no, if we were bad all the time, then we might have to say we got to get better. But we're happy. We're celebrating. This means a lot for the province. And then, kind of in a lighthearted, I don't know, it's a tough description. Then he said, sorry, hope you accept our apology. Really kind of nonchalant, nondescript. I don't want to put an emphasis on it or an emotion on it, because was it sincere?
Well,
partly. Was it funny? Partly. So there are people offended, right? Because they took their children or their grandchildren to the event. And there are words we were talking about George Carlin and seven words you can't say on TV, right? There are some that you can say, we could say right now on the air. There are others that we can't say until after 8 o'clock. And there are other words that you can't say anytime on the radio. That was one of the words you cannot say at any time in any public space. When he says it to his team, when he's in the dressing room talking to his team, all that's a private conversation. Even if there's tape recorders and cameras there, let him say it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He has every right to do it. He has every right to do it when he's talking to us in the media, right? Because he knows we can laugh at it, bleep it out, right? If I'm writing for the newspaper, then I just, you know, put a bunch of dashes in instead of the words. But he was in a public space provided by the city and everything, and yelling that word out. And I'm a prude. I don't think amateur coaches should swear at their players either. I'm that type of guy. Can't you find another word to use in that place? So I would be offended, but I wasn't there with my children or my kids are grown up or my granddaughter. I would be offended if they were there. And those are the people I heard from today, James.
So here's my stance on it, and this is coming from somebody, all, you know, full disclosure, I was raised by hippies, so my position on this is a little different, I think, right? Jamie had a response earlier today. It's out on socials. We clipped it out of the show and threw it out there. You can check it out. You can't tell people what they can and can't be offended by.
Mm-hmm.
And that works both ways. And so but here's the other issue that I have is you also can't force people to apologize when they don't mean it. And that's the sense that I got from Corey Mace, mm-hmm. is that he was like, well,
I asked the question because I've had it. And I'm not telling people to be offended.
No, no, no.
I'm saying I was offended. And if I took my granddaughter or my grandson, I would be offended, especially. I'm not saying you have to be. And if Jamie's not offended and Jamie's mother isn't offended, that's a different thing. But you should still be careful and aware of your audience. And that's what Corey Mace has been so good at. He apologizes when he swears to us in interviews and we all chuckle about it. Okay, I can handle it. It doesn't bother me. But the situation and the word that he chose was a little extreme for me.
So if you would have left the M part out, it would have been less so?
Yeah.
Still rough.
Still wouldn't get by George Carlin's seven words, would it?
People are going to be affected. The world that we live in today, though, for me, and this is my stance on it, there's a lot more egregious things happening up there.
Of course there are.
I don't mean that as to diminish or to belittle anybody that was offended.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my take on it. And I said that earlier, and then I had people coming after me on text saying,
here's my thing. I hate that this conversation's a thing because I don't think this should diminish anything about what this team accomplished from the start of this season to the end of the season to that darn parade.
But do we
all one iota. This team deserves their flowers, and I'm sorry, I don't care that they swore, because the expectation is now going to those events, it may not be family friendly.
Yeah.
And there will be family friendly occasions for this team to engage with their fan base around the province all off season.
I want to give you the last
word. I don't
think
this should blemish this at all.
Darryl.
I think it's unfair to this team for how well they've conducted them this season that they're getting this much heat one damn word at a parade.
I want to give you the last word, Darryl, but I will say this. I think the unfortunate part of this is that we've dragged on the conversation. It makes it sound like they were awful.
Mm-hmm.
It was a couple of swears, they were drinking
a little
beer.
Wild around the ledge and drinking smoked cigars.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, these are
they were not out of hand when you compare it to other.
No,
like,
I'm sure there's been some drinking and smoking at the ledge in the past.
Anyway, okay. That's my
maybe
thought
when they're putting thought. The budget together.
We have to be careful not to just give them a pass because they're champions, though, right? There is still some public demeanor, and that you're right, Jamie. They've been impressive all throughout it, and this seems out of character for them. I know that they like to use swear words. Okay, it happens sometimes, but people were bringing their children to celebrate their heroes, and they were probably offended by it. Those are the people I heard from.
Darryl Davis, you can read his column in the Leader Post. It's up. I already read it.
Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate it.
It's a good column.
I got a couple of clicks. That's doubles my normal amount.
If it happens again, they may be a little less exuberant.
Nah, probably not.
That's Darryl Davis here with a double take. Oh. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Wednesday. Well, I think it was the clip all of Saskatchewan wanted to hear, which is Trevor Harris on he'd be shocked if he was retired.
I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if I feel like I turn around and say like it's a wrap.
So there you have it. He feels he can still play.
He's coming back to you.
Get him signed in the next week or two, and then, you know, he can start recruiting because there's a lot of free agents. But we need to turn the page over to the Vanier Cup coming up on Saturday.
That's right.
Another Saskatchewan-Montreal clash for a championship. University of Montreal against the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. And head coach Scott Flory, glad he's back with us. He talked to us last week ahead of the Mitchell Bowl. We did ask who he's cheering for in the Grey Cup. And Scott, what did you think of the game? Now that you know the Rough Riders have won and you didn't get the tie you were looking for against the Alouettes.
Man, what a great game, though. I think that's what the Canadian football game is all about. Big plays, good defense, special teams, turnovers, right? Like it was physical. It was fast. Man, that's as a fan, right? That's just what you want. You want a great football game, and that's what it was.
Scott, just a quick reminder, you're on live, so no swearing, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll keep that to a minimum. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Just thought I'd say that out loud.
Yesterday, the other coach of a football team squeaked one in on air, so we're just making sure.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to recap. I'm like, I don't think I just swore, did I? I'm like, okay.
No, we're just sort of referencing a conversation we've been having most of the day. Scott, your defense goes out, shuts down Queens. How impressed were you, and how important is it that they step up again in the Vanier Cup?
Well, absolutely. I think they've been, they've been rock steady all season long for us. We had to just some changes on staff. I brought a new defensive coordinator. I brought him in, but he's already on staff. And Coach Halseth, Cody Halseth, and he's just done a phenomenal job. I mean, the boys up front, our box play with our, D-line and linebackers, to me, is they're outstanding. They're some of the best, if not the best, in the country. And they hope to put that on display on Saturday. But their defense has just been... they got the one touchdown, and then they got inside the 10-yard line of defense, clamped down, and held them to a field goal. Outside of that, it was, we gave a few yards here and there, but it was just, it's all about points, and that's at the end of the day what it's about.
Your last two trips to the Vanier Cup, 2021, 2022, of course, both six-point losses, Scott. What do you, as a head coach, go, okay, learn from that? What are you learning from those moments to get the job done this Saturday?
Yeah, I think it's not that the messaging has changed. I think just having gone through some of that stuff is just about the opportunities. There's going to come a point in the game that I know that we're going to have to make a risky call. I shouldn't say a risky call, but we're going to have to be a little bit more aggressive. And you don't know when that's going to come. It's going to be at some point. Something's going to be there. And it's like, okay, maybe we go for it on third and two instead of kicking a field goal. Or so, you know what I mean? Some kind of situation like that. And we've got to be able to execute in those situations. Usually these games, I think as you saw on Sunday, it's about, obviously line of scrimmage play, time possession, all that kind of stuff, but it's about opportunities and not making mistakes. So if you have opportunities to make plays, turnovers, things like that, you got to have those and make those plays. And then also on the flip side of that, it's about limiting mistakes. So if you got a route to run, run the route, right? If you got a block or a tackle to make in open space, you got to make that play and know what you're doing and know where you need to be.
Scott, you know what kind of team you have. And I want to ask a question where we talk about not so much what you guys are good at on the field, defense, offense, whatever it might be. I want you to try to pinpoint something that about this squad that you've been running this year is the reason why you're at this point.
Yeah, I got 100%. I know the answer. It's veteran leadership. We've had the same group of leaders here for the last couple of years. We lost one early in Lane Novak, a linebacker with us. He made the Bombers there, but we got the other two guys back and two Saskatchewan Rough Rider picks that I know Rider fans will be cheering for years to come, in Seth Hundeby and Daniel Weeb. But those guys, I mean, they run the locker room. I'm not kidding when I say I don't do much. I kind of put the schedule up, and if there's any issues or there's any conflict, whatever, those guys handle it all, and they have complete command and control of this football team, and that's how you win.
Scott Fleury, head coach of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies football team, on their way to Regina for the Vanier Cup this Saturday against the University of Montreal. I'm going to go back to the news last week. It hit everybody hard with what Anton Amanrud disclosed about his health and his battle. How did the team rally around Anton for that Mitchell Bowl championship, and how much will you be rallying around him this week for a national championship?
Yeah, last week was a bit of a blur. I mean, honestly, I'm just walking up to meetings here 5 minutes ago and was just so much further ahead on the offensive side. I don't really remember much of, you know, the first couple of days of the week last week. It was heavy news. Players processed it. However people use it, motivate and internalize that. Anton's one of those leaders on our football team. He got dealt, vicious news here last Monday. We dealt with it Tuesday. And it's an ongoing thing. I mean, you know, fingers crossed he can get out and get down to the game on Saturday to be there to support his team. If not, I know he'll be cheering us on if he's out of the hospital or at home or whatever the case is. But, I know he's a fighter, man. The kid, he's integral to his team, and you just see the love and support that his teammates have for him. From a football side of things, it's better this week because we actually, have been able to process and work through some of the thoughts and emotions and feelings. But, obviously he's still a huge part of it and still weighs heavy on our minds.
Scott, I'm very curious about how teams prepare week in, week out, right? And I know, listen, 1-0, all the cliches, but there has to be, do you prep differently? Are you getting ready for this game a bit differently than you did the regular season?
I don't. I think that the one part is it takes more time just to familiarize yourself. Like, this is the second time in program history that we've ever played the University of Montreal. Last week was Queens. That was the second time in program history. I mean, both of those programs have been around for a long time, or maybe the third time that we've ever played. So you're going to watch, and you're going to watch more tape and familiarize yourself. But like, we approach, and I think it's just a steady approach to, man, be it a non-conference game, be it week three on the road or the Hardy Cup or the Mitchell Bowl, is that we're going to prepare our butts off and get our players ready to go. I really do. I'm not that there's football gods or anything like that. I don't know about any of that business, but I love this game so much and you got to respect it, because the second you take that stuff for granted, I think you get got, and it's so disingenuous. So it's not who we are.
All right. So let's focus on what you're up against. Quarterback Montreal, Pepe Gonzalez, and of course, kind of a rookie season for him. What's he do well? What are you prepping for with a quarterback, of course, you've never seen before?
Yeah, no, he's got a whip. He's aggressive. He pushed the ball down the field. He can air it out. He can throw the ball. He can run. He's elusive, but he's a run to throw kind of guy, not a run to run kind of guy. So, but he will get out of the pocket. So we got to make sure we contain him. They got a big offensive line. They're going to, protect well. They do a lot of 6-7 man protection stuff. So, they're going to try and make sure that he's protected there. So we got to get after it. I know that our defense will. And then it just comes down to, be it coverages or opportunities. We had 3 opportunities for interceptions there last week and off our hands all 3 times. So when we get those opportunities, we got to make sure that we're capitalizing that on the defensive side.
Scott, we talk about this usually more in the Memorial Cup times, especially way back in the day where the Quebec teams play different than the Western teams and the Ontario teams. Do you see that in football? Do you see different mindsets from, conference to conference or not?
That's a great question. I would say this, and I said this to the team too on day one, the Quebec conference is more similar to Can West than it is dissimilar, whereas Ontario in our football universe seems to be the outlier. They're more dissimilar than they are similar. So for us, we look at some similarities in the coverages and their offenses and how they run. So we can see a lot of, oh, this is a formation, or we run a play like this in the Quebec conference. And I think it's part of that the heavy kind of pro influence that we have out west, and I think they have in Quebec, especially with those top two programs. Whereas it's a little bit different in Ontario. They just play a little bit different style, so it's a little bit hard. You know, like I said, it's a little bit more different from how we operate in the Can West.
So you're coming down to Regina on the weekend here to play in the Vanier Cup. Obviously, it's being hosted here, Mosaic Stadium. I'm looking forward to it. Do you know anything about how fans are getting down? Like, is the school renting buses? Like, what does that look like, Scott?
I honest to God, I don't have enough time to deal with that. So I'm sure I'm trusting the people at the university are dealing with that. Man, I mean, at the end of the day, I think I've driven that road a million times in my life, it feels like. So I'm sure that the fans, anybody from Saskatoon that wants to get down, and hopefully people in Regina just want to come out and watch a good football team and football game and a couple good programs going at it. Because it's going to be a beautiful afternoon from the weather forecast, and I think it's going to be
6 degrees. Game. Like, what is going on? 6 degrees no kidding.
Is it like the Riders a couple of weeks ago in BC was coming? Actually, I'd rather it be a little chillier for our Eastern visitors, Scott.
No, I want clean game, clean field, clean game, man.
Are you a dome guy for a championship game, Scott? Would you rather be like, hey, let's have pristine conditions? Or not?
Hell no. Give me the fog. Give me the snow. Give me the blizzard. That's where it's at. Absolutely.
Okay, so Quebec City was your first venue as head coach, of course, going back to the day. Then it was London. How nice is it that it is a two-hour drive away for fans to get to the Vanier Cup support the Huskies?
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic. I mean, it's twice that it's been held outside of Eastern Canada. 2006 here in Saskatoon and now obviously in Regina and, you know, pretty proud to say that this program was in it, both times or is in it both times. We're just hoping for a different outcome because in 2005 there, 2006, whenever it was, the Huskies lost to Laval. So, we're looking to right that wrong and get a win on Saturday.
That is Scott Flory, the head coach of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. There is a celebratory pancake breakfast, with the teams on Friday that we are emceeing. Blocker's just excited to eat breakfast, I think.
Are you not a breakfast fan? I would eat breakfast for every meal.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And bring on pancakes. I'll take a waffle over a pancake, but a pancake is, that's a good day. You get a pancake in you?
Champs and Chumps coming up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Champs and Chumps here on the Green Zone. Chump goes to Cam Scadabo of the New York Giants.
What are you doing?
He's injured. He was at WWE, and he gets mixed up. He's getting into it with wrestlers. He take a bump too? Oh no, he
kind
didn't.
Of. Okay, good. Kind of. Yes, he did. Scotty's trying to defend it because
he's injured. He's on the IR. He had season-ending surgery. What are you doing?
Yeah,
Champ was.
I don't want to offend anybody. We should leave that one alone.
So the Riders were throwing beer to like out of a Pilsner thing, and apparently so one of the players that dropped one off the ledge of the balcony like looked down and was like, okay, just whoo, here it comes, whoo. And like I don't know how old the kid was, but he just went whoop, and he grabbed it
and everyone
didn't
cheered.
Hit the ground. It was like whoop, grabbed it, and then somebody from St. John Ambulance was like, can I just
take that from you, you're not supposed to have that.
But good hands. Hey, yeah, good hands.
There you go.
Good hands.